How many of you like gifts? Sure. How many of you like that in the love languages and like that's up there for you? Okay, a few people. All right, how many of you, I always always have like a box up here and there's always something in the box. Like what is in the box? It's been like a giant penguin sometimes or other random things. Who wants this box today? Who would like a gift? Okay. So Sandra, you can come up here. All right, she's like, I'm gonna get myself in. You can stand right here next to me. All right, Sandra, so I'm gonna give you this box, and the only condition is you have to open it and show everyone what's inside.
Okay.
Are you
like
sure?
Right now?
Yeah, you sure you wanna do this?
Yeah, sure.
You're right committed?
Now. Yeah.
Okay. Hungarians are full of courage.
Imagine I. Oh, it's a bunch of paper. Oh. A gift for you. Oh, sorry. Oh, it's In-N-Out.
All right. So Sandra's going to In-N-Out a couple times. Maybe take a friend.
I'm allergic to the food there.
Oh, you can maybe gift it to someone else.
Yeah. Thank you, though.
Yeah, but you can eat meat, right?
Yeah,
you gotta get lettuce wrap.
Oh, yeah.
That's
thank
what I do.
You.
So us with the gluten allergies, we go lettuce wrap.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for volunteering.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
So if you want to make friends with Sandra or your friend, like, hey, you want to take me out to In-N-Out? There you go, at In-N-Out later.
Thank you.
So there's this idea of gifts. We like to get gifts. They're freely given to us. There's nothing attached to them. They are given to us, and we get to receive those gifts. So we're going to look at gifts in Scripture today, maybe in a way that you haven't viewed a gift before from this context. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to open up to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to pass out paper Bibles if you don't have one with us. So it'll be Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. So we'll take a moment for you to read the scriptures for yourself here. So Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. And as you read the scriptures, you can ask yourself these questions. What am I learning about God, Jesus, or his plan? And what am I learning about people? So what am I learning about God, Jesus, or his plan, and what am I learning about people? So as you read through these section of scriptures, one of the things I want to highlight here is leadership and leadership emergence. So you're seeing different types of leaders coming out of these scriptures here. And one of the conditions that God has given us as a church is that God wants leaders to emerge in this church. So leaders would be someone who are discipling other people, which this means that you're taking your knowledge of Jesus and you're sharing that with others, introducing them into a relationship with him, and you're helping them get to know Jesus by helping them learn how to study the word and growing in commitment and obedience to him, and then they would go off and share Jesus with others, and you would see that the process would continue to reproduce itself. So the idea is that God wants all of us here to emerge as leaders, so that we're discipling, we're training other people to know Jesus more, that we would do that with 2 to 3 other people individually, or we would start groups with people to do this with him. So he's asking us, are we willing to do that? Or are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give up your time and your energy and your resources in your life, that you would take the same hope and love that you've received from Jesus and give that to other people? So if you look at verse 11 here, we'll go through this verse by verse. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. How many of you, this is your first time reading this scripture right here? Oh, a handful, cool. How many of y'all read this before? Rest of everyone else? Yeah. So sometimes this is referred to as apest. So there's different there's the five leaders here, or like the fivefold ministry. And so when you read these different roles here, we got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Think of them more as roles. Like, what is their function within the church? What is it that they're supposed to be doing? And did you notice what those people were called? They were called gifts. So just like Sandra got this green box here with the In-N-Out gift card in it, the gift was the gift card inside, right? In the same way, the people are the gifts themselves. Did you notice that? It wasn't something that they carried internally. It was actually the person that was the gift. And so Sandra, she had to receive the gift, in the same way that these people who function these roles, you have to receive them as a gift from God to be able to receive the gift that they have for you. So when you think about the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, sometimes these seem like, for some people, it's like, oh man, this is like, you know, the big people doing this stage ministry or on YouTube and all this crazy stuff. Think of it more as like, this can actually be part of your local church. These are people filling roles that God has for them to train people. So when you think about apostles, apostolic gifted people, they're people who start new churches and new ministry structures and basically help build those things from the ground up. And then they see them grow as God is using them to help those grow. And then what's different about that is that in addition to that is that person then trains others to do the same thing. So when you start looking at these five roles, you'll notice there's a gift with it. And then when they fill the role is when they actually start training other people to do that same role that they're doing. So that's the apostolic leader. And then we have the prophets or prophetic leaders. So these are people who receive words from God as predictive or situational in nature. And then what they do is they take that to the next level. They train other people to do that. So everybody can hear from God. We can all hear from Jesus because we're all sons and daughters of God. And we have the Holy Spirit living within us if we believe in Jesus. And then you become more of the prophetic role is when you begin to train other people in that way on a larger scale. And the third one here, if you look at it, it says there's evangelist. So the evangelist is someone who shares the gospel and leads other people to Jesus, but they step into the role of doing that when they're training other people to do it, when you see the reproduction taking place. And then depending on your translation, it might say pastor or shepherd. So these care for the well-being of others, and then they train others to care for others' well-being. So you can see there's a theme here is when you step into training others is when you step into a role. And lastly, there's teachers. So you effectively communicate God's word and train others to study the word or instruct other people to study the word. So when you look at the life of Jesus in the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus actually embodied all five of the different roles. So Jesus is God. And then when he gives the gifts to people and he sends them as gifts to the church, it's actually Jesus taking a part of himself and placing it in different people. So when we've studied the scripture, it says the church, we are the body of Christ. Like literally we are the body of Jesus because Jesus has taken a different piece of himself and placed it in all of us. So when we come together as the body of Jesus, we make up the fullness of who Jesus is and how he wants to minister, not to his church, but people who don't know him and share his love with them. So think of these people as more like, they're kind of like big trainers. They're the people that train other people in these roles. So not everyone's going to be an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, but everybody is to be apostolic or evangelistic or pastoral. So we'll all have a different piece of these within us, and you might find that some of these are stronger in one area for you than others. Like for Meredith and I, Meredith is super strong in pastoral gifting. Like that is her strength, and I learn a lot from her. Mine is more on the apostolic side, the evangelistic side. So you can see, even within our context of our marriage, we each carry different gifts, but they balance out our family and balance out Enrich Church as a whole. So let's see how this plays out. So let's look at verse 12 here. It says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. So each role has a unique purpose and responsibility. And so as we're reading this, begin to think to yourself or ask Jesus, like, Jesus, where do I have my strengths? Where do I have my gifts from you that I fall into these different roles or these different giftings? So the whole role of these five individuals that are named, these five gifts, is simply to build up the church, build up the body of Jesus. So there comes a point where, you know, you're young in your faith, maybe you're brand new and you're like, I'm learning a ton, there's a lot going on here. And then you come to a point where you're like, man, God has equipped me. I need to start going beyond myself and start giving this to other people. That's when you begin to step into these different roles of discipleship that God calls you into. And so if I'm honest with you, to live this out, man, you got to give up your life. Because if you're going to go and invest in other people and train them and equip them in who God wants them to be, that is your time. That is your resources. Like that's your life. And that means that if you invest your time in what God wants you to do, that means you're taking your time from other places that you would rather maybe spend some time doing things for yourself, and you start living more and more for Jesus. And so as we do this, everybody has a specific role or purpose, and we all develop the flavors of all the roles. How many of y'all like eating fruit? Anyone like peaches or apples? Who likes peaches more? Who likes apples more? All right, so imagine that peach or apple in your hand. Maybe you went up to, you know, that mountain over here, and you picked it off the tree for yourself, and you've washed it. There's no worms in it or anything. Like, it's a perfect peach or apple. And you take a bite of it, and you're just so juicy, and it's so good. And you notice, like, as hopefully you're, like, even getting the sensations. Now, as you're taking that bite and you're chewing it, you're getting all these different sensations or different kind of flavors of it. Because as you bite through it, maybe it's, like, a little tangy at first, but then it's sweet. But then you feel the texture is a little different, and then it's harder on one side than the other. Maybe it's a little softer here. In the same way, eating that piece of fruit is like these five roles, right? So you're going to have different flavors within it. Like when you eat the fruit, that in that way, you're going to have different flavors of the five roles within yourself. You're going to have stronger ones that are stronger, and ones that are going to be stronger in other people. But we all together make up that piece of fruit. And so to grow in these, and we have to put in the intentional effort. Like, we have to dedicate time to really grow in these areas so that we can be strong enough in them to begin to train and reproduce them in others. There was a season when I was in seminary at Fuller, just down here in Pasadena, and I tried to get out of my internship. I didn't want to do one because I was just plugging through. I was taking the equivalent of 32 units a semester to, like, bust through seminary and just get through as fast as I could. And I tried to get my internship waived, and they totally denied me. And I was so mad because I had all this other, I just tried to use some of my other experience to waive it. But when we were touring Fuller the summer before I got accepted, we were in this coffee shop, and there's this person in front of us. Her name is Kirsten. She turns around. She's like, "Are you touring Fuller?" And like, I'd never met her before. I'd never talked with her. Like, "Oh, actually we are." And she said, "Hey, if you come here, we have this thing called the Pasadena International House of Prayer. I'd love for you guys to get connected." And so she added me on Facebook. So this is like a year and a half, almost 2 years later. I'm sitting there, I'm like, I have to do an internship. I really want to learn how to pray effectively with people where God actually shows up and changes people's lives. And I remembered, I met this random person in a coffee shop like 2 years ago. So I messaged her. And I was like, "Hey, is it possible to do this internship at Pi Hop?" And she's like, "Let me look into it." So Pi Hop gets back to me, and they're like, "Hey, you can come do an internship." They let me design my internship how I wanted to do it. So it was so cool. I got plugged in weekly into their physical healing ministry, their prophetic ministry, which is simply hearing from God and sharing that with people as you pray with them, and then their inner healing deliverance. So helping people resolve their emotional and spiritual issues and get free from darkness and stuff that's hanging on their life. So I went all in with this. I was doing this like 20 hours a week in addition to all the other units I was sharing with you. So I had to sacrifice my time to go to a place where they could train me, then that I could then take that and do that with other people. So to do it, I had to make a huge sacrifice. I had to be intentional with my time to give up other things to live more and more for Jesus. And I'll tell you this too. Man, the way our culture and the way advertisement works in the United States here in the West, there is such a draw to go do other things than to live for Jesus. I mean, sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I could just go every weekend and go do something fun and get out of here and go camping and traveling and all this stuff. But then if I did that, I'd be like, I would totally be living for myself. And I'll tell you, I feel the draw all the time. And I actually have to say, no, I'm going to choose to live for what Jesus wants me to do rather than how I want to live my own life. So it does take sacrifice. But if you think long term, like if you think at the end of your life when you're standing at the judgment before Jesus, we're all going to have to give account of our lives. And then you're like, hey, every weekend I went camping or I went to wherever, I did all these things and I did not serve you or like give my life for you in any way. That's going to be a hard stop right there in front of him. And so I think long term, and I want to encourage you to think long term. At the end of your life, what account do you want to give to Jesus for how you lived for him, for his kingdom purposes? So jump into verse 13. I'm going to read it in your word. It says, "This will continue until we all have come to such unity in our faith and the knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." Man, so you see that this is going to continue until Jesus comes back, because there is not unity in the faith yet. We're all not mature in Jesus. And so these five roles that we've named here, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, These are going to continue until the time Jesus returns. And so the idea of this is that these roles help us grow in unity in the faith and grow in the knowledge of Jesus and become mature in God, growing in Him. And so be thinking about yourself. Man, what is my role in the church? What is my role in the kingdom to begin to step into this, to begin to equip and train others to follow Jesus in these ways? So let's look at the outcome. What's the purpose of all this in verse 14? Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We'll not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies that sound clever like the truth. So the idea is that you grow into maturity so that the deception of the world, the things that would try and deceive you and take you away from Jesus, they no longer have the influence or the sway over you to get you going in a different direction. A way I like to think about this is you move from being childish to childlike. Because Jesus wants you to be like a child, but doesn't want you to be childish, right? So the idea is childish is going from immaturity to maturity in Jesus. And so to be rooted in Him, what it means to be His disciple is this, is that you grow in your commitment to Jesus and you grow in your obedience to Him. Because there's all types of things in this world that want your commitment, that want your obedience, that want you to go in its direction. But we have to choose to grow in our commitment to Jesus and our obedience to Him. So this requires our time, our energy, our effort, our entire life. So verse 15 here, as we come to a close. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. So you might laugh at this. Jesus is not a democracy. Like, He's God. Like, Jesus, He is God, and it's like, man, either we go Jesus's way or we go do our own thing. Like, we can't, like, if we all voted here to outvote Jesus and wanted to do something He didn't want to do, like, I think He'd probably laugh at us, and He's like, this isn't the U.S. Like, this isn't a democracy. You don't get a vote here. Either you do what I say or you go a different way. You get out, right? You're either with me or you're against me. And did you all notice what Jesus in the word here indicated as what is the change that happens in a person when they grow to maturity? It actually had to do with their speech. Did you notice that their speech actually changed? And I believe it's this. It's because Jesus said Himself in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, He says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so to recognize if you're changing and growing in maturity in Jesus, the words that will be coming out of your mouth and the tone and how you say those words will be transformed. And so it's Him living in your heart that transforms you. So you're knowing you're coming to maturity if your speech is changing because He purifies your heart. So when you come to know Jesus the first time and as you're growing in Him and as you surrender your life to Him, you notice like, man, I got all this emotional and spiritual issues in my heart, my life. Because we all got a past, right? We all had stuff that we've done or has happened to us. And when you come to know Jesus, His blood washes away our sins, past, present, and future, and we're a new creation in Him. And that also means we get to start growing to maturity. So He wants us to begin to work out those things in our heart to be healed and to be made whole. And you have to submit to Jesus in His process. You have to surrender to Him. Because He's the head of the church. So He's in charge. So it's like if you're part of a healthy family, right? If your father's healthy, everybody's going to say, all right, Father, what are we doing? We're under Your authority. But if you have rebellion in the family, then people are going to go their own way. There's going to be a ton of disrespect. But Jesus wants a healthy church. He wants us to look to Him as the head. So either we commit and obey to Him, and this is going to be really, it's harsh, but this is truth. Either we commit and obey to Jesus, or we're not His disciple. Like we're not His follower. And so commitment and obedience to Him shows that we're His disciple. And an indicator too that we're like Jesus is the fruit of the Spirit. So if you're writing this down, Galatians 5 verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So as those are growing in your heart, as Jesus is taking up more residence in your heart and your life, you'll know that those are continuing to increase. So verse 16 as we wrap up. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So Jesus causes His body to fit together. All y'all are so important. into what Jesus wants to do, because you're his body, you're his church. And so imagine, like, if you bailed on coming together and gathering as a church for like a month. Like, imagine what we would be missing out if you didn't come, because of the gift and gifts that you carry to bring to encourage people and to build them up. And imagine if you didn't come for a month, like how much we wouldn't be able to pour into you and invest in your life. So Jesus created the church, which is his body, to come together. And so if we don't show up, we miss out on God, what God wants to do. And he wants us to become healthy and whole. So when you come to Enrich, this place is, isn't it fun being at the park? Because you got all these like crazy kids and stuff talking around, all that. I love it. It's so good. So the way Enrich Church is designed, we're designed like a training center, like a spiritual CrossFit center. So if you'll notice, like the moment you show up, we're actually training everybody in a direction. We don't ever start on time. Ever notice that, right? It says 10 o'clock, but by the time everyone's done hanging out and talking, it's almost always 10:15, 10:20. But the depth of conversation that's taking place here, like it's so important. And the idea of that's the pastoral care. Because as I kind of walk by people and hear conversations, people are having conversations about real life, like stuff that's going on. So this is a space we actually create intentionally for the pastoral care, because I can only do so much, but when everyone shows up with a shepherd's heart, man, it's like, how can I encourage someone today? Or man, I need encouragement. We did some prayer training before, and some people needed prayer, like genuine prayer. So we prayed for them. So we have this space for that. Our worship team, when everyone's able to come, not like this weekend, each person is being trained to lead, to take point, and to choose songs intentionally, and to work with the team. We have a time of prayer right after the worship. And if you'll notice, there's almost always someone up right next to me praying. It's because we're training people how to pray in intercessory prayer and lead a church in prayer. The funny connect question of the day y'all laugh about, that's actually super intentional, because that is how you build a bridge with someone to share the gospel. So if you see someone wearing they have a cool tattoo. Hey man, that's a cool tat. Or hey lady, that's a cool tat. Like, tell me about your tat. Like, you just built a bridge with someone. That's a connect question, right? And then you take that question to talk with them more, and eventually you build a bridge with them to share the gospel. So the connect question is actually really intentional for us to learn, how do we connect with people in daily life to build a bridge to talking about Jesus. Then we have our Jesus at Work story. Every week someone different shares. They're getting the opportunity to share testimony. They're doing public speaking, which is like one of people's the greatest fears of a lot of people, right? But they're standing up or sitting down, sharing about how Jesus has been at work in their life. They're getting to do testimony. And then everyone's getting built up in faith, hearing what's going on. And if you notice too, if you've maybe first time here today or you've been here a while, I actually don't read from the scriptures just the whole way through. I actually have everybody read it for themselves, because the stats say that most people don't actually read the Bible outside of Sunday morning. But when y'all come, we want to train you. How do you read the scriptures? And so we had you read it through, and I ask you some simple questions that you can take and read the word on your own. And at the end, we're going to get into, we always have an activation. How do you actually take what we've learned and apply it to your life? So we always want to help you get the tools to take. And then we always have prayer after service. So we'll have a team after here too that wants to pray with you and wants God to intervene in your life. So if you're like, okay, I see how it's designed. This is really cool. It is equipping me. And then what's the next step? How do I serve? So we have spaces here at Enrich that we'd love for you to step into and consider serving if you want to. So there's some of us who are here early to set up. You get some nice smiling faces. We have greeters and ushers when you come in too. We need people to serve in those roles. I need people to serve in prayer after service. Our kids ministry is getting off the ground here in the next week. If you've been part of Enrich for at least 3 months, we'd love to have you consider serving in our kids ministry to disciple kids and to train kids. So we need you. We need you to serve. Jesus needs you in his body to serve in these different ways. Another one of those ways is we have discipleship. So what this is we meet up weekly and do life on life together, studying the word and following Jesus. So we have what's called Discovery Bible Studies. We're having one starting up here pretty soon in different capacities. And it's when you gather people together, either they're not connected to a church, don't know Jesus, or they're just open and want to know more. You come together and you do life together and you study the word. So these are some ways that we can do that. And then we have what's called our discipleship multiplication movement. If you all have done this, we have these different color folders and we study through the word in a very intentional way. And we basically train you how to train others to make disciples. And then as you grow in that, the idea is that we actually plant more churches. So we got Ethan and Jen here. They're church planters in training, and they're super awesome, planting a church over in Arcadia. So the idea is that we're a church planting church too, and we're a church that makes disciples, that we empower you to go and lead people to Jesus. So how many of y'all are curious about kind of your flavor of APEST, or the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher? How many of you know where your gifting falls in those? Anyone? Okay, how many are like, I have no idea, this is like totally new to me? Yeah. So this would be awesome if you grab your handout that we had. There's a QR code on the bottom left. It says Spiritual Gifts Indicator. What you can do is you can scan that with your phone. It'll take you to a website, and it's just going to ask you some questions. Answer those questions truthfully. So if you've believed in Jesus, you've received the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit lives in you, and Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts to the church. If you want to look at that, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So you can scan that and do, it should take like 5 minutes or so. You'll get an email kick back to you, or it should pop up right away, just depending on how it distributes the information. And it should give you your top five spiritual gifts. And these are ways that Jesus wants you to use these gifts to impact other people for his purposes in their lives. So while you guys are doing that, I'm also going to hand out a spiritual gifts action plan that you can take home in your time this week with Jesus. And you can write about your spiritual gifts and how you want to apply them to your life and to serving at Enrich Church and to advancing Jesus in your sphere of influence. So if you want to take a few minutes to scan the QR code and take that spiritual gifts test, you're totally welcome to.